141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on another blockbuster weekend across Scottish football. Hearts lead at the top of the table gets bigger after they win the Edinburgh Derby. That lead is now over Celtic initially, who beat Falkirk on Saturday evening, and it is Rangers who dropped to third after losing at home to Motherwell. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, I'd love to start a rumour that Andy Halliday's still stuck in the Ibrox tunnel, but he was never scheduled to be on anyway. Alex Ray took his place and he's stuck in traffic, but Roger Hannah has got you all covered.
One of our pundits is missing. It's been an incredible season. We've only had one game post-split, Gordon. Already one team has blinked. Rangers losing at home to your beloved Motherwell yesterday. And that's even without Andy Halliday being involved for Motherwell yesterday. And now we have lost a pundit. Can this season get any more crazy and chaotic?
01419511025. It was a massive weekend. It always had to be. It was just poised that way. No matter how the results went, it was going to be huge. Because even if it had stayed exactly as it was, Hearts would be a step closer. But yet their position has strengthened. They went into the weekend with a 1 point advantage. It's now a 3 point advantage, but as we alluded to, over Celtic in second place, because Rangers have dropped to third because they lost at Ibrox against Motherwell. So pick your way through that if you can now, between now and 8 o'clock. 01419511025.
Who is going to be most wrong, the supercomputer or Hugh Keevans? Because in this show last Monday, Gordon, you told me the supercomputer said 47.2% for Rangers to win the title, and Hugh Keevans said 0% for Celtic to win the title. I think somebody's going to be wrong somewhere.
Well, let's hear your thoughts on it. How do you reflect on the weekend? How big was it ultimately? How much did the results yesterday boost Hearts' chances? How much did it boost Celtic's chances? How much did it damage Rangers' chances? Because they've all still got to play each other again in the next four matches. So clearly, a lot could change. But what has this weekend done? And then, of course, we'll pick through the specifics of the games themselves. At Ibrox yesterday, it's that simple balancing act between how good were Motherwell, how poor were Rangers. Give us all your thoughts there. Did Danny Rule get things wrong? Did players let you down, Rangers fans, Motherwell fans? I know for sure you'll want to wax lyrical about what you witnessed. Celtic fans, it's been a rough old season at times, and then you look at this weekend, all of a sudden things really looking up. How confident are you? And Hearts fans, I know there'll be a lot of focus on the Glasgow 2 change in positions, but your points advantage grew and you're a week closer to the end of the title. It's easy to forget that. So give us your thoughts as well. 01419511025. Alex Ray must really be stuck in traffic, so you've got an extra responsibility tonight. Regular listeners will know that at this time, on a Monday night, I ask you for your result, goal, howler and player. Oh, look at this.
I may well just have got off the hook.
He's not moved that fast in Sunderland 2003. Watch the telly before you take it off the wall.
Right, okay.
No, I think if I ask him for these awards, it'll tip him over the edge.
Okay.
So
okay.
You, Roger Hanna, have got extra responsibility. Unless you're equipped
for
this.
Yes, I am.
Right, we need a result of the weekend, Roger Hanna.
I'm going to start with our man, Marvin Bartley. He's waited... Livingston have waited since the 9th of August to get a league win. He finally managed to get one at St Mirren at the weekend, and they are not out of it yet. They play before Killy and St Mirren play. They've got Aberdeen at the home of the Seth Fair Arena on Friday night. Surely he could not orchestrate the great escape.
Right, there's another obvious one. Let's see what Alex Ray goes for.
You know who I'm going for? Yeah, Motherwell. I thought they were absolutely excellent. The first half is as good a football I've seen all season. I thought the way they popped the ball about, they actually schooled Rangers. And I think they were worthy winners in the end, because even as much as Rangers were coming back in, they still carried a threat.
You can keep your answer short whilst you're out of breath if you want from running in. Right, that was good. You nearly, but your face is going purple. Alex Ray, I think you all had brilliant choices this weekend. Goal of the weekend.
Goal of the weekend. I am going to give it to Kieran Tierney of Celtic. The second goal in that 3-1 win against Falkirk on Saturday night. A good team move and an emphatic finish from the the left back, not quite as good as a winning goal for Scotland against Denmark, remember, but Kieran Tierney's second best goal of the season.
I liked the one at Falkirk, I have to say. I thought it was
Kerry
brilliant
Wilson.
But I have to say, I thought the boy Ferry, I loved that. It was a lovely pile driver as well in a big derby game.
You two. I think you two have done Kyrie Wilson a real
No, genuinely, I thought it was a brilliant strike. But I just think for a left back to execute
people of
that
Falkirk
shot.
Come on down, my goodness.
But John O'Brien there gone mad.
What an oversight that is.
What about the D goalie? He was admiring it in the way in. Yeah,
but I just think the actual strike from there for our left backs. Okay. And I actually think overall his performance
goals,
was great.
Never scored a goal for Dundee United. He's now got 4-4.
Right. That's what about your howler of the weekend? I felt like there was a few slip ups and mishaps and anything that tickles your fancy.
Go on.
On you go, Dave.
I was going to say, I think the Hibs goalkeeper, I think when you misjudge the situation and the manner what he did, Hibs were in a good moment, leading in a derby game, and he's just got his bearings all wrong.
Kilmarnock are lucky that they're not getting the award, because they've now in three consecutive away games lost a goal in the first minute. You can't be doing that.
That's incredible, but that record, isn't it?
We have to go for someone else who's not woken up, Kieran Adams of Falkirk, because the previous weekend, look at Ryan Mullen. He may have heard that Dyson Maida is quite quick, and Dyson Maida presses hard and will charge you down, and quite often that can cause you problems. And to lose that goal, particularly when, there's no blame attached to Nicky Hogarth. He is where John McGlynn wants him to be on the field of play. But as soon as Myra's get the ball off Adams, that's a goal.
Okay, and your top performer over the weekend goes to...
Fadinger. I thought he was outstanding. I thought he was brilliant. I thought he bullied the midfield, dominated. And I think overall, I thought he was excellent.
Got his goal, Roger.
I'll go for his mate, Manny Longello. Pushed forward, got the goal. People forget that gave Motherwell the lead at Tynecastle a couple of weeks ago. And when you see those names on a sheet of paper, as we did that day, Gordon, at Tynecastle, you don't expect Tom Sparrow to be at right back and Stephen O'Donnell to be left back and Manny Longello to be a left winger and all of this.
And no striker yesterday, because they all just decided to stay wide and leave.
100%.
It was incredible, wasn't it?
And the decision to put Longello up there is terrific. I mean, remember, go back to the first day of the season, he scored that late equaliser against Rangers, which was the first drop points of the Russell Martin era, and he's done it again yesterday.
Right, so let's get stuck in then. 01419511025. That is just to whet the appetite. And I would never criticise our esteemed colleague Fraser Wishart, but we probably had enough to get us through between now and 8 o'clock with a look back on the weekend. They've only gone and announced the 4-man shortlist for player of the year as well, so that's always a good old debate. Is it the right list? Who has been unfortunate to miss out, and who will win out of them if you want to go that far? Claudio Braga, Lawrence Shankland, Tawanda Maswanisi, and Elijah Just. Those were the four names on the main player of the year shortlist. Any surprises for you?
No. Once you see the team, they announced the team last week, and that always gives you a clue as to who's going to be in that 4-man shortlist. I wondered if Benjamin Negrin might just have sneaked in there, because this is the first time I can remember, Gordon, a shortlist of 4 with no Old Firm player on it.
First time since 2012-13 season,
right,
when Michael Higden won it,
Wow. And I actually don't know who's going to win it.
Alex, any surprises in the 4? We can probably get to who
wins it later. I think they've all had outstanding seasons. Just have been great. Braga's been very consistent throughout the course of the season. Juan Marisi's goal contribution. Shanks has been the best striker in the league.
Okay, let's get stuck in then. Your weekend review. How do you look back on it all? Ian is a Rangers fan. Talk to us about yesterday, Ian. The game, what it's done to your title hopes.
Hi there. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
It slightly changed. I think I actually went phone last week, but things were slightly different at that point. But what happened after yesterday, the question I think is even more relevant. Basically, what I thought was wondering what you guys thought about whether Danny Rowe has enough in the bank, considering where he's taken Rangers from when he arrived, that he doesn't necessarily have to win the Scottish Championship. Do you think, hopefully they will, obviously, but I think yesterday has kind of given me a bit pessimistic about it now, because it's not really in their hands. But I'm just wondering what you guys think about whether he does need to win it in order to get the backing of the fans and the board.
Good question, Ian. What do you think?
Oh no! Listen, I think he's not took the most amount of points since he came in October. So, And you have to remember as well, when he came in, it was an absolute mess. You know, the players were lacking confidence and things, and he had to galvanise them and get them on a winning streak. And he's done that. Now, he's obviously got into a very good position where he could go on and win the title. However, yesterday has really dented that. And but I still think he's done enough. I think one transfer window in January as well, you know, you obviously get new owners. So I would at least expect him to get another couple of transfer windows. You know, I think it's important to get... I think Rangers over recent years have chopped and changed quite the thing, and there's no consistency, there's no strategy. And, you know, I think obviously there's a very emotive reaction to yesterday's poor performance.
There's a scale here, Roger Hannah, that goes from, you know, Ian's asking, does Danny Rule need to win the league for the Rangers board? Probably not. Is that fair? I don't think they suddenly sack Danny Rule if he doesn't win the league. For the majority of the Rangers fans, who knows? It just clearly makes your job harder. There will be a number of Rangers fans who'll hold it against them if they don't win the league. I don't know what does that number look like. Is it a tiny section? Would it be a lot for Danny Rule to overcome in the court of public opinion if he doesn't win it? Or what's the verdict?
There will be great disappointment, because, you know, at one stage, a couple of weeks ago, for 24 hours, Rangers were top of the league, Gordon. And had they won the game yesterday, they would still just be a point behind Hearts and in the thick of it. They still are, to an extent, in the thick of it. I think they'll probably need to win these back-to-back away games now at Tynecastle and Celtic Park to have a realistic chance of winning the league. But he has come from an awful long way behind. I think the majority of his signings... thinking to a Romans who's injured just now, Chukwuanyi, etc., Nadiri, again injured just now, they've looked as if they've added something to the team. He's got more out of Chermiti than the previous manager did. He's got more out of Raskin than the previous manager did. He's got more out of Fernandez than the previous manager did. So I think I've always kind of thought, Gordon, it's unrealistic to expect Danny Rule to go from where he was in October, was it 13 points behind at one stage, Alec, and win a league. But you know what it's like here? If the next season starts and he finds himself in the kind of run of form that Russell Martin was in at the start of the season, he'll be under pressure. But he will believe that with the benefit of a close season and, you know, it's a whole new show. Rangers, Jim Gillespie's in the door, Stigginga Bjørnby's in the door. So it's different people picking the players, and it's a different head coach working with the players. He will believe that even if he doesn't win this title, he's done enough that they'll be able to kick on from the start of next season.
How damaging was yesterday then, Ian? Because a glance at the Premiership table tells you Rangers are 4 points off top with four games to go. That doesn't sound impossible. How much did it damage your belief yesterday?
Well, to be honest, it really makes the next two games absolutely vital. I really think, although they might not have had they beaten Motherwell to get from the next two games, 6 points, but I think, after watching the Falkirk game, it was clear that the back line is needing addressed. They managed to come back from two goals down and ended up winning the game, but a lot. I mean, the attacking side is obviously very good. And against Motherwell, it was the same. So I mean, it was bound to happen. At some point, you know, if you've got a leaky back line, you need to really, I mean, success starts from the back. You know, you really need to have a good, it's like what they say, if strikers win games, defenders win leagues, you know. So I think that's where they really need to be looking as far as recruitment's concerned.
There's a lot to get through, Alex, because it was an interesting enough game that we could really analyse that. Let's start with that big picture, though. Where does this leave Rangers' title aspirations?
Well, listen, I think getting into the weekend, they were quite well placed. However, I think this is severely dented. I still believe that they can go to Tynecastle and get a win there. But they're going to have to do that, Gordon, because they're running out of games. So from that perspective, I think, you know, this weekend will take on a real poignant kind of time in the season for Danny Rowe.
Not over just now, but over if they don't win at Tynecastle.
Yeah, I think 4 points with three. The games are running out, Gordon. So I think if they still have 4 points, Hearts, come Monday night after the game, I think that'd be too much. Because I think you'd pretty much only need, two wins out of the last three. So
where does it leave Rangers?
I think they need to win at Tynecastle to get back in it. Anything short of a win at Tynecastle when it's finished, I think.
But it's not finished yet?
No, No, it's not. I mean, arithmetically, it's not finished yet.
I know that, but we're kind of talking about our own feelings.
Yeah, I think if they can go to Tynecastle and win, then regardless of what happens with Celtic Easter Road on Sunday, they will be back in it. Now, they might need to go to Celtic Park and win as well after that, Gordon. So it's in their hands, but they've lost 8 goals in the last 3 games. That's unsustainable. If Partick Thistle were losing 8 goals in 3 games, Alec Ray would be out of breath the way he was when he came in the door here tonight. You cannot do that. They got away with it against Dundee United. They got away with it against Falkirk.
Yeah.
It was never ever going to be sustainable that they could keep getting away with it. And it all caught up on them against Motherwell on Saturday, Sunday.
What did you make of the game yesterday, Ian?
Well, that was you know, what really annoyed me about was the fact that they started, you know, they ended up having to play catch up, losing 2 goals, and I did think that when Tomiti managed to get that equaliser, you know, there was a chance. I think there was a glaring one. I think in the second half. From what's his name, sorry.
Tomiti had one late on, didn't he, and Mikey Moore?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. I thought that the tactics to begin with weren't... It was quite surprising, I think, that you left that... that wasn't really enough width. And I think had Mikey Moore started, maybe they would have had more of an attacking threat early on. It might have changed the game. But these are sort of ifs and buts. It's not really... You can't really do much about that.
Just to sum up the temperature out there, there's a call that's just come in from someone who called the producer and spoke and said, "I'm too angry to come on the show." That's not the spirit of it. Come on, we'll all do it together.
Andy, just because you can't come and sit and you can still phone in, don't worry.
Get your anger out. Alex, how bad was it from Rangers? How good was it from Motherwell? Well,
I think it's important to get the balance, Gordon, because everyone can say that Rangers won the races and so forth. I thought Motherwell were absolutely outstanding. They passed Rangers off the park, and it was really interesting because they obviously played with the false nine dropping in, and the two centre-halves just did not want to go in, and it was a real problem for Rangers. Even when you look at the quality of the goals in which they lost, you know, Nico Raskin steams in like 100 mile an hour. The boy turns him in the middle of the park. And then the actual recovery runs from Nico and Asgard was really, really poor because the guy who's turned him, and you're literally level with him, he ends up gaining, 6-8 yards.
You bring me in this show for journalistic acumen, not tactical acumen. So I want to ask Alec Ray. Gordon, you and I were at Tynecastle when Hearts beat Motherwell a couple of weeks ago. And Motherwell could have been out of sight, Alec.
Yeah, I've seen it.
You'll have seen the game. And Derek McInnes at the start made a tweak. He put 3 into the middle of the park. He played 3 and then 3 and then 2 boys up. And one of the regular beat reporters for Hearts asked why he changed the tactics. And he said, "I needed a third midfielder in with Devlin and Beringame. I needed to put Blair Spittle in because that's where Motherwell are strong. Motherwell
they condense
the game with that box in midfield. Yeah. And I didn't want us to be outnumbered. Yeah. And that's why he did it. When I saw the Rangers team yesterday, even before kickoff, I thought they're going to be short in the middle of the park.
They're going to get picked off.
Because it's all very well having Chermiti and Majovski up front, but if you want to do that, you're leaving yourself shy somewhere. And they were short-handed. And he didn't see it quickly enough for me. It should have been a Diamandi or a Baron in there to help out, with Majovski off. I think Danny Rule thought, we'll just come here and we'll have 2 up, we'll have 2 wide guys and we'll just battle them and we'll win the game. And he got caught out for, I don't know whether it's naivety or complacency, he underestimated what Motherwell could bring in the middle of the park.
Well, the thing about that statement is that this is not the first game of the season where you've been caught out with, because you know exactly how they're going to play. They've been playing it all season, so Derek McInnes has recognised that early doors and he's managed to plug that and then he can start gaining control of the game again.
Is this where also we're seeing what Jens Bertolascu can bring, though? Because where teams have had success against Motherwell in recent weeks is going man to man against them. So that's, what does he do yesterday? Plays without a striker and just moves the two
wider.
Masuenisi over to one side, Langella to the other. So Giga and Fernandez didn't know
what to do.
And you could see Giga and Sterling. Honestly, I went to the game, I don't get the chance to do it very often, and sat in that wee away corner, you know, but so then had that great view down that right side of Giga and Fernandez did not know who to come across and who to mark. So that, like, although Motherwell, they do it the same sort of principles, they're always tweaking things to keep teams guessing, aren't they?
Yeah, well, the actual rotations are very good, Gordon, because it's not a static. You never see them in the same position. There was actually a period when the two number sixes, in essence, were doing, like, so in the construction from the goalkeeper ward, they were just doing like a crossover, and it was just too confused. And you could see the two pressing midfielders going, "What's happening?" So you have to credit Motherwell for the fluency, the belief, the players for executing it as well. So as I said,
is that the bit that was sticking the throat though? Because if that can happen then or whatever, and you're praising Motherwell, you're mentioning when it does go wrong, Raskin and Asgard, you're not running fast enough to go and try and track back. Well, with a title on the line?
Yeah, well, you have to run hard, Gordon. You know what I mean? It's there's a lot at stake here, you know, and you even get John Brown coming out at half time and saying, this will not win you time. And by the way, he's got a valid point
I'd love to see the stats. You made the point. I'd love to see the running stat. Off the ball, I'd also love to see how quickly they recover the ball. You know what I mean?
Well, they do. There's a lot of stats going about. They're one of the best in Europe.
About 6 weeks ago maybe, so it probably changed, but they were the top team for ball recoveries in Europe at one point.
Yeah, because, you know, you see them 55 or 60 or 62% possession or something, but that's because they get it back off the other team so quickly.
Ian, thanks for kicking us off. Plenty more where that came from. Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Alex Ray are here. Let's bring in Serge, who's a Rangers fan. Serge, where are your title confidence levels after yesterday?
Well, obviously they've been dented, really dented, but it's obviously going to be a hard task for Rangers. But we've got four cup finals. The fact that three possibly are away from Ibrox could maybe still go in our favour, but there's no room for mistake. I must say, Motherwell were excellent yesterday, but it does perplex me sometimes that how can a team that goes to Parkhead, takes 1 point out the last five games, getting beat by the likes of Dundee, can come in another performance like Ibrox. But fair play to them, they deserve to win.
I'll nibble. What do you mean?
Oh, that was a quick bite, Serge. Well done.
No, in the second point,
reverse. Come on, reverse lights on. What are you trying to say?
No, basically what I'm saying is, Rangers seem to be the team that these teams, and fair play, Motherwell have been outstanding all season.
Uh-huh.
And fair play that the Player of the Year awards reflect that with both Hearts and Motherwell. Motherwell being the best football team in the league by a country mile.
Right.
It's just a pity they decided to turn up at Ibrox after five games, taking 1 point in 15. You know what I mean? It's fixing your craw a wee bit.
No, but it doesn't. If you just did, you watch? I don't suppose you would have. Did you see Motherwell at Tynecastle last week?
Yeah, but they still never won.
That's the point. But they didn't deserve to lose though. If you turn up and are absolutely hopeless, then all of a sudden you're good. But that's been the sort of the myth a little bit, Alec, about this run Motherwell have been on.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, Serge is right. Everybody can check the scores and note that they've lost. But performance levels actually haven't dropped loads. I think the Falkirk are good at doing a number on Motherwell. They were poor that day. But they probably deserved something at Tynecastle.
Yeah.
They only lose, not only lose, but it's one each at Celtic Park, and then Motherwell down to 10 men, get a penalty. So you've got to look a little bit beyond scoreline sometimes.
Yeah, you've got to look at the big picture. And the one thing about Motherwell, Gordon, they have a philosophy and a way to play, and they tend to carry that out. Sometimes you're not going to get the results, but I think Juan Manisi missed a couple of off the top of my head at Tynecastle. So you look at that and you think to yourself, on another day, it could have been a different result. But I think the one thing that's been consistent is that Motherwell have this philosophy, and you know, they managed to carry it out yesterday brilliantly. So it's okay saying they managed to turn up at Ibrox, Serge. However, what you have to say is that
beat Celtic for Parker.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it was an opportunity for Rangers to really pile the pressure on as well, get another important win at the start out, because we were all talking about the split and how important it was going to be, and then obviously to lose to Motherwell. And as you say, Serge, I think most Rangers fans are kind of, it's most certainly taking a dent.
It's one of the two home games gone, you know, for Rangers as well.
Yeah.
Roger, they wouldn't have wanted, there's so many sort of reasons that they wouldn't have wanted to start the post-split with a defeat like that.
I was listening to Derek McInnes after his game yesterday, and he had said to the players, it's going to be highly unlikely anyone will win all five of their games. You know, history kind of shows you that. And, you know, the elite are playing the elite, and it's difficult to get a
winning run. Has anyone actually ever done it? I actually think they might not be the case.
I'm not sure. So with Rangers, you think they go into this, if they could get a draw at Tynecastle and a draw at Celtic Park and win the other three games, might that be enough for Rangers? But you weren't expecting them to lose that first game. Particularly, you have to remember, the last game, they'd come for 2-0 down to win 6-3. You would think all the momentum would be with them. But again, they're caught out with a poor start, with poor defending, and they just gave themselves too much to do. And when they actually got back to 2-2, if you look at that league table, Ali, a point yesterday wouldn't have been calamitous for Rangers at all.
There's a time, obviously, when Hearts were struggling yesterday as well.
Losing the goal to Lungelo at the end could be a really pivotal moment in the title race.
You don't sound too down about it, Serge. It still sounds to me like you think there's a decent enough chance Rangers win this league.
It's not that I'm too down. I just think now that we're underdogs, which I think suits Rangers. I think Rangers are better coming from behind. But another thing I will say, and you can see Blue Tinted, see Celtic win that league this season, but why the worst teams are seen in donkeys, it doesn't say a lot for, and that's no Celtic's fault, by the way, but it doesn't say a lot for the standing of Scottish football. We're not a league the size of Germany that can take Bayern Munich or whatever, winning X in a row. This is the time for Celtic to be dethroned in Scottish football to get a wee bit back more competitiveness. You know what I mean?
I think there's a case for Rangers, obviously. Right, but and Hearts have done really well, but I don't think it reflects on any of the other teams. I mean, that's the whole problem.
Whoever wins the league deserves to win the league.
But the problem with our gulf in finances is that big. That's what it's going to show, that even a bad version of Celtic
can still
think
win
that, that might reflect badly on the teams that are closest to them financially. I think it reflects on Kilmarnock or St Mirren or at all.
I don't think you want to look too deeply into it. Whoever wins the league will deserve to win the league. It's been a season like no other. The Jameson Analytics Tony Bloom investment in Hearts has propelled them into a title race far quicker than even they thought it was going to happen. At the start of the season, that old first Old Firm game, Alec, Brendan Rodgers against Russell Martin, seems an awful long time away. You know, we've then had Martin O'Neill, Danny Rule, Wilfred Nancy, and Martin O'Neill again, and so many changes on the field. Celtic brought in how many players in January? I could have counted up the row sitting in the main stand on Saturday. Go through that episode. And you now have a Celtic team who have turned back to the James Forrests and the Anthony Ralstons and Tierney and McGregor, we mentioned earlier, to win the league. It's a season like no other. Whoever finishes with the most points deserves to win the league.
Let's hear a bit from Danny Rule and his take on the game yesterday.
Yeah, disappointed. I think there's no question mark. Let's speak about the second 45 minutes. We had a lot of opportunities to turn it again. I think we can win this game 4-5-2. Even our first half was not what we want. We changed something, great impact. Yeah, but this is football. This is sometimes where we love the sport and sometimes we hate the sport. But, and this is the most important thing, it's not over. It's really not over. I think when we speak about Falkirk and I saw the picture from our fans, the flag, keep believing. This is the right time to lift this slogan with emotion and we will really with keep believing. Otherwise, it's difficult. But four more finals, four more games to go and it's our job.
Did change things, Alex, at the break. Are you surprised it took that long? Motherwell might actually have been three
another sight,
up.
Yeah.
Did it take too long? I assume that obviously there is a kind of minor fitness worry with Mikey Moore. Did he pick the wrong team? Did it take too long? What did he need to get better?
Well, I think Rogers hit the nail earlier on. He could maybe have got Majorski to drop down and give the midfield a little bit of hand, because I just felt as if they got overrun. I think they didn't get the press right and they were played through far too easy. And one of the things that I kind of noticed as well yesterday, Gordon, was that even when Rangers were in kind of probing in or around the Motherwell box, one of the key factors and one of the big factors of how Motherwell are doing so well is in transition. And I just felt Rangers were very, very poor in the rest defence. You know, it's
all three of Motherwell's goals come from the goalkeeper, certainly two of them, straight from.
Yeah, but Gordon, there was more than that than just the goals, because the keeper gets it or they try and construct through and then they find that spare man or they play through. And Rangers never quite got that press. I think in the second half, they managed to do that. I think Mikey Moore came in a little bit narrow. And I think the introduction of Diamandé as well, I think Diamandé did relatively well in there. I think Mikey Moore would have been the surprise for me, because he seems to be the guy that gets them going offensively. He picks up lovely little pockets and driving the opposition. And I was a bit of a surprise that he never kind of started the game.
Michael's a Rangers fan. What did you take away from it, Michael?
Hi, gents. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Good to hear you. Good to see you all looking well.
Don't know about that.
Bit flustered, mate.
Stretching the truth.
Hey, guys, my point is, when Rangers played Falkirk, when you look at the first half they had there, very lackadaisical, very loose at the back, didn't seem to be able to hunt down any players, the wide players for Falkirk. They went away on their break in Spain, they've come back, and to me they haven't learned any lessons when they look at the first half of Motherwell. It was like watching the same first half against Falkirk all over again.
Well, there are similarities, Alex. Obviously, the goal before half-time at Falkirk really changes things.
Yeah.
Rangers had to wait to the second half for this one. I don't know if that was, if you saw any similarities.
I think it was different circumstances, Gordon. I think at Falkirk it was a really strong wind which helped Falkirk in the first half, and then obviously Rangers benefited in the second half. Prior to going to Spain, I've made a statement saying that one of the key things, now obviously a lot of people were talking about, I think it was 14 goals in 3 games scored. My big concern for that was that they were shipping goals quite easily, Gordon, for the chances that they were passing up. And that was fairly evident again yesterday, because I think it was the first attack Motherwell really posed yesterday. I think they scored on the back of it. So that would be a concern for Danny Rule, because it's very difficult, you know. I think if you think back to all the top managers over all the decades, they always kind of make sure the back line is very secure. It's funny because
conceded 9 in the last 4, I think.
That's right, yeah.
So, 8-3.
So, but I was thinking back, and I'm thinking about, obviously you've got your own experiences when you were there, and obviously Big Marvin's doing the rounds at the weekend, and you think back, I think, how many goals do we ship? Because I remember in my mind that we were quite stingy back then. Mm-hmm. 22 conceded in that season. And Rangers are currently sat in 34. So they really need to kind of sort the back line out. Because if you're shipping 2s and 3s, it becomes nigh on impossible, because it just puts more pressure on the top end to score goals.
Where does it leave the title hopes, Michael?
Well, my heart says they've got a chance of it, but my head says no. 4 games coming up. Well, 4, as you say, they put it down to 4 finals. But if you look at it, we're going to our next game's Hearts. And if we have another first half that we just had with Motherwell, then I can't see them doing anything.
I mean, Roger, everything is built on ifs and buts. That's the whole point. It's too tight to make definitives, but it does feel like the sort of, if it doesn't go well for Rangers, that it feels like that would bring a bit of clarity, because obviously you have to leave yourself open to flipping that the other way around. If Rangers go to Tynecastle and win, they're 1 point behind. Yeah. Let's say Celtic drop points in the same weekend, which wouldn't be completely inconceivable. So
even if Celtic don't draw points, even if they go to Easter Road at noon next Sunday and win the game, if Rangers win at Tynecastle next Monday night on this show,
exactly, they would still be a point behind.
So I mean, as we said earlier,
God, how big's Tynecastle going to be then?
It'll be the biggest game of the season.
I can't wait.
It will be the biggest game of the season until the next one, the following week at Celtic Park. But Rangers now, they've put themselves into a position now where their backs are against the wall. And if they don't win at Tynecastle, it's done.
So, sorry, some people will kind of emphasise that, you know, they've only got one more game at home, but their actual away form has been far better than their home form. Yep. And I think it's partly because there's less pressure.
Thank you very much to Michael. All the Rangers fans so far don't seem too down about the league chances. Everyone still seems to think there's a reasonable chance that it could be done. Anyone out there who has written it off after yesterday, give us a call. Motherwell fans, you'll surely want your moment to brag. Get your calls in whilst we tell you about this. Clyde One. It is incredible how the prizes just keep getting bigger. £790,000. Wow. Biggest cash prize yet. Has to be won this Friday. Text YES to 61025. 250 to text, plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll also find the rules for this network competition. Or call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at the standard rate, over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. Come on down. Good luck. Text YES to 61025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Roger Hanna are here. I thought we'd hear from you Motherwell fans. You must have been buzzing about that performance and result yesterday. Of course, lots of Rangers fans feeling somewhat the opposite. Let's keep going on the phone lines on 01419511025. I think we are about to speak to Scott. Indeed we are. Scott, what's your take on it all now after yesterday?
I think it's just amazing the last four or five games that you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, on you go, sorry.
Sorry. I think it's amazing, obviously, the twists and turns. I came on about 3 weeks ago after being annoyed at Hugh, saying that Celtic had absolutely no chance of winning the league.
I'll need to check in on how his Celtic 0% chance is looking at the moment.
Exactly. And I came on saying how at the time that they did have a chance, and then I says that it was Hearts that had no chance, or kind of contradicting myself. It just shows you. So I'm kind of on to make a kind of half apology about that, because I think right now Hearts have got to be the favourite and the momentum's with them. I think what I've been listening to you is watching, obviously. Next week's a massive game. If Rangers get beat next game, Roger's right, we're absolutely out of it, and it'll be interesting going forward after that.
So not yet, Scott. You still limp on for now, you think?
I think, again, what other callers are saying, my heart says yes, but realistically, no, my head says no. I've got to be honest, I think we're doing it once again. I don't know what the stall is, but to beat that game yesterday was a massive blow. You don't win that first home game, I think we're playing catch-up. We're third now, and I think we'll probably finish third, if I'm being honest.
I think the analysis of Hearts' strength, it's Scott, fair play. Not everyone in Scottish football holds their hands up when they get something wrong, Roger Hanna. Talking about, you know, we mentioned the supercomputer last week and the Rangers, what did I say it was, 47.2
or something now, that ilk.
Hearts were top at that point, so I don't know about algorithms or whatever goes into that, but you assume it's sort of form based as well, and you know the run the Rangers have been on. But I still feel like, and maybe it's because we're doing the kind of Glasgow and the West thing, it still feels like for most people this weekend was a big shot in the arm to Celtic, which it was, but do we still overlook Hearts even with four games to go? Because I mentioned it at the top that this is two-pronged for them. Their gap at the top grows, it improved, and the number of games remaining lessens. I feel like here in Glasgow we're not quite acknowledging still enough as to how strong a position Hearts are in.
And we're talking here, you know, Rangers need to win at Tynecastle. If Rangers win at Tynecastle, they'll be a point behind, you know, still be a point behind Celtic. If Hearts win at Tynecastle, Hearts are seven ahead of Rangers with three games to go. It's over as far as Rangers are concerned. And if Hearts win at Tynecastle next Monday night when we're on this show, Gordon, they'll remain a minimum of 3 points ahead of Celtic with three games to go and a superior goal difference to Celtic. They are in still the box seat.
Hugh's texting to say he still thinks Celtic have a 0% chance. I think he's maybe starting to get
he's
confused.
Doubling down.
We're not asking who you think is going to win. That's a different thing. Like, Celtic might not win the league. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they've got a 0% chance. I think he's getting his wires crossed.
Yeah, I think they're still very much in the hunt. I've been saying it for weeks, Gordon, because Celtic have an ability to dig in.
Who could the team in second at this stage with that gap of 0%?
If you think over the course of this season, it's the most problematic season for a long time. Was it 8 defeats? It's a remarkable, and yet they're still very much in the mix, and they've got players who are really starting to hit form. I think the key thing as well, you've got Adam Johnson coming back, and then
Alistair.
Exactly, he was back at the weekend as well.
Can you, Scott, what, like, people are always desperate to project something bigger on a game like yesterday. Do you see that as a sign that, I don't know, the mentality's not right, or the work rate's not right, or that tactically you know not got it, or Danny Rule doesn't have it? Are you making any of these big sort of statements after yesterday?
I think there's a few running there. I'm going to be honest, I was quite disappointed that Danny Rule never started Mikey Moore. Now, I heard him saying that he only trained two days before that game, and I think what he's done is he's favoured the players who were fit plus were away, so he didn't bring them in. But for me, if he's back in and fit to play the second half, he should be fit to play for us to play the strongest team. Mentality-wise, yeah, I watched it, and I don't want to kind of slate players, but I looked at Raskin yesterday, Asgard, and I'm looking and I'm saying my life, these players look as if they're playing a friendly here. I just couldn't believe what I was watching the first half. We really miss Romans at left back, so I hope he comes in soon. But as I say, next Monday is the very big one, and I think if Rangers win, obviously we're back in it again. If Hearts win, then I'm probably going to guess that most Rangers fans will probably will be supporting Hearts in the end, because if Rangers go 7 points behind Hearts next week, we cannot win the league. Impossible.
The bit about, you know, Asgard and some others were getting stick, Alex. Do we sometimes look at it in simple terms and look at things like effort and, you know, commitment, that sort of thing? And you mentioned the running. I'll put the claret and amber specs on a wee bit. I feel like there's just a bit of that that feels a little bit missing the point, in the sense that Motherwell drag you into areas that you have further to run to get back. You know, I'm not saying that it was nothing to do with that, but sometimes we default to saying, almost like if Rangers had just tried a bit harder, they would have won the game. And I think that's the bit that does Motherwell a disservice.
Well, when I was explaining earlier on about, you know, that particular scenario when they get the first goal and he turns, I'm just explaining that
from that point,
from that moment, you can actually kind of beeline, you know, get you like a high speed run back, recovery run. And I didn't quite see that, because that's the importance of it all, because Fadinger manages to get back in that pocket and then obviously scores a goal. And I think, you know, I think Jack Bolton will be disappointed with that one as well, which kind of flashes across the face. I think he would be expecting to save that.
Were there individuals, Roger, that were particularly culpable for Rangers yesterday?
It's difficult to say. No, I mean, I thought the team was set up wrongly, I have to say that. And he made three changes at half-time and they rallied a wee bit. There was miscommunication at the end. I think Butland's going to save the shot from Langelo. Fernandez tries to clear it, he just knocks it into his own goal. There were things that were unsatisfactory from a Rangers fan's point of view for the performance. They've got a couple of chances now to rectify it. If they don't take both those chances, if they don't take all the chances, it's over as far as the title race is concerned.
Yeah, Scott, I mean, how much is, I think you did allude to it, but let's just talk a bit more about the importance this now places on the next game at Tynecastle.
Oh, it's absolutely massive. It's definitely going to be up there with one of the games this season. The only thing I'm going to say on that is, well, I think no matter the result next week, I expect Celtic to beat Hibs next week. I've got a wee conspiracy theory here.
Go good, we like them.
Yep, not about the Celtic and Hibs game, it's about the Motherwell and Celtic game. Now, the rumour is there that they reckon that they're looking for him to be the manager.
Right.
So I just hope that Motherwell plays good against Celtic as they did against us, because if he was to go there next week, next year, he's wanting to go there with Celtic being in the Champions League. So I just hope he's going to be a fair manager and play as good as he did against
Did you hear the show on Friday?
No.
Hugh announced to the nation that Jens Bertolasco wants to be the next Celtic manager.
All right.
He put straight away, straight, pulled him up straight away, not having any of it.
I just laughed because it was when I said that he's probably heard off someone in the petrol station. Then he tried to claim that he doesn't go to petrol stations because
he
doesn't drive.
Papers, didn't he?
Exactly. See,
he gets his papers,
But maybe he goes to the same petrol station as Jens Bertolasco.
It's hard to keep up.
Into him in the forecourt.
It's hard to keep up. So remind me. So Hibs are presumably going to lie down to everybody now, yeah, because they don't want Hearts to win the league. That would be one of the theories.
No, so surely they try harder against everybody.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Then you've got Jens Bertolasco wants to be in the Champions League with Celtic next season, so he won't.
If Celtic win the league, they might keep Martin O'Neill.
Yeah. Then there was what was the one about? What else is there? Of course, if Hearts go to Celtic on the last day,
they might down tools depending who's out of it.
It's quite a lot to keep up with.
I think it's wonderful. Long way then.
Maybe Jens Bertolasco's Celtic aspirations are in the balance and he needs to go and put in a 5-0 performance against them to really win them over to get a second interview. Keep going and on. Thank you to Scott on the line. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, Beat the Pundit time. No conspiracies here. Just Roger Hanna, who starts on -1, Alex Ray, who doesn't,
+1,
and one of you trying to take them to task on it. Get your calls in before 7. Beat the Pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Roger Hanna are here at 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Lots of reaction to the game at Ibrox yesterday. What about the Edinburgh Derby? What about where this leaves Hearts and Celtic as well? It was a blockbuster weekend and we are not even close to being done at looking back on it. So keep the calls coming and we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
We've got the four nominees for Player of the Year confirmed today by PFA Scotland: Braga and Shankland from Hearts, Masuanise and Just from Motherwell. So if you have any thoughts on that, you can get them in as well. But let's play Beat the Pundit with Finlay, who is on the line. Hi Finlay.
Hi, how you doing?
And Finlay, is it true, the rumours that I'm hearing, that you're a Hibs fan?
Unfortunately,
right,
got done.
Seriously, how are you feeling?
Devastated.
I'm going to test your devastation a bit later. Let's play Beat the Pundit first, then we'll talk, get the important stuff out the way. If it is blue on the coin, it will be Alex Ray, and if it's red, it will be Roger Hanna -1. You ready? Do you think Andy Halliday's actually pulled out of tonight's show because he was so disgusted at last week's questions?
You have no idea the number of people who have asked me about that during the course of the last
maybe
7 days.
Maybe that is it. It's actually just come to me. Give me some nonsense about his wife being away somewhere, but
Do you seriously think he's out with Harry Styles and Billy Connolly?
There's a free chance. Right, blue for Alex, red for Roger Hanna. And it is red Roger. Ooh, look at the relief on Alex's face.
Believe me.
Imagine it, he was late for the show, then he'd have to
two
play
minutes.
Were you coming in from the University of Cumbernauld?
I don't know where I was coming from.
Is that Tony Watts clanger from last week?
I know, I'm kidding.
You're having
no!
Right, Finlay, we'll give Roger 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep, sounds good.
Right, let's see. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. St Johnstone playing which city?
Perth.
Which Premiership club has a mascot named Haley?
Falkirk.
Who wears number 8 for Rangers?
Mandy.
Stephen Presley, Gary Caldwell and Gary McAllister are connected by which English club?
Liverpool.
Dundee United's Amar Fata is from which Scandinavian country?
Denmark.
Which Hibs player was known as Lee God? Oh, for goodness sake, how often does that happen? We get a Hibs fan on, a Hibs question, an easy one. Right, let's bring him back. Roger Hanna, have you got us?
Yeah.
You laughing at?
No, I was just thinking, I actually don't know what that song was in Greatest Hits, but I was doing that Gordon Dale thing where I found myself singing the wrong lyrics to the song.
What song was it?
That's what I'm saying, I don't know. A catchy wee thing, I like, wasn't it?
Right, you ready? Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. St Johnstone play in which city?
Perth.
Which Premiership club has a mascot named Haley?
Falkirk.
Who wears number 8 for Rangers?
Baron.
Stephen Presley, Gary Caldwell and Gary McAllister are all connected by which English club?
Coventry.
Dundee United's Amar Fata is from which Scandinavian country?
Sweden.
Which Hibs player was known as Lee God?
Sozy.
Which Premiership club is sponsored by Stella Omada?
Hearts.
Okay. Finlay, what are you thinking?
No chance. When it was Roger, I had no chance.
He does start on -1 though. So which
Hibs start on -2, don't they, Finlay?
Steady. Finlay's at the hard enough weekend. St Johnstone play in Perth. You both got it, which means Finlay stays one in front. You both went for Falkirk. Interestingly, have they got particular Haley vibes about them?
I've no idea,
because you're both wrong.
I couldn't think of anybody else.
Hoopy and Haley. It's Celtic.
Is it?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Female dog.
I did not know that.
The female hound,
Haley the Huddle Hound.
Exactly. I don't want to get in trouble because I don't know the relationship between Hoopy and Haley. I don't know if they're like siblings or I'll just leave it. Right.
We're going unnecessarily deep into this.
I should have just skimmed right over it. Hoopy and Haley is the female hound. Yes. It's not Falkirk. That's what you two need to know. So it's still 1-0. If you like, to Finlay, because Roger starts on -1. However, number 8 is Conor Barron, and it is an equaliser for Roger Hanna. Stephen Presley, Gary Caldwell, Gary McAllister. I thought we had him, Finlay, but he dug it out. It is Coventry in the news this weekend, of course. So Roger Hanna goes 1 in front. Amar Fata is from Sweden. Roger Hanna goes 2 in front. What about Hibs fan getting a question about Lee God?
Come on, he's got it right.
Of course,
surely.
He got it right, Frank Sozzi. And still time though for Roger Hanna to stretch his lead. It was about the other Edinburgh club. Stellar Omada is a tech company, which I'm not sure I could have told you, who sponsor Hearts. So Roger Hanna with a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We take one off. It's a 5-2 win for Roger Hanna.
Cheers, Finlay.
Finlay, I've got to admire you. You've already had a tough weekend. You phone in and it just gets worse because he beat you.
Roger made it a bit more difficult for me.
I know. Right, talk to me about yesterday. How on earth do you get yourself into one of the, well, arguably the most meaningful league derby in quite some time, and end it with 9 men?
It's just typical Hibs, Gordon. Typical Hibs. Big, big derbies, and this is what happens. It's, come to expect it with Hibs now.
Is this a thing, right? I must admit, just because I hadn't paid like super close attention to the record recently, but I was speaking to a Hibs fan who I work alongside at times today. He said the exact same thing, Finlay. He said, show Hibs a big derby and they lose it. Is that, yep, is that the feeling?
That's the feeling, yeah. Hmm. And like three games this year, last minute goals.
Yeah, same Hibs fan, loves stats, and he was telling me, so Hearts have won three.
Just name him. It's Gavin Pearson, isn't it?
No, it's not actually. It's not.
Are you sure?
No,
just name him.
It's a Sky Sports employee.
Oh, Alex Shanley. Okay.
7 minutes. Is that right? Hearts have led Hibs for 7 minutes this season and won three derbies.
Yeah,
because they've scored the three.
Craig Halkett, Thomas Magnussen, and then yesterday
the three late goals.
I think I saw this thing. Spittle scored in the 86th minute. That's six of the last 9 Edinburgh derbies. Hearts have scored in the 86th minute or later. So
that's good going.
Yeah. 86, what, only Hearts in 86?
Stop it, honestly. Can I like, never let it be said that this show doesn't get right to the bottom of the pressing issues. Do you know who's just messaged me? Genuinely,
Luke Shanley or Gavin Pearson?
No. Go Hayley, the Huddle Hound. Seriously?
Really? I've just written this big paw trying to text.
I know. Hayley the Huddle Hound has sent me a message to confirm that it's her and Hoopy are sister and brother.
Okay.
That's genuinely the real Hayley. What has happened to this once proud show?
I think that's a good thing.
Finlay, the two red cards, do you like have any sympathy with the players? Is it, are those mistakes like unforgivable? How do you view them?
Two moments of madness, and they'll only be forgivable if Hearts don't win that league. Simple as that.
Oh no, that's pressure.
As simple as
on
that.
The two.
Salinger lost the place, hasn't he? He doesn't need to do what he's done. He's come out, he can chest the ball, and the momentum of Kabore isn't going to cause any problems at that stage.
Is Paslak's worse role?
Paslak could have been sent off on that challenge for a second.
Bear with me, because the goalie, he clearly like doesn't mean it, if that makes sense. You know, he doesn't know where he is. He's taking a chance. Whereas, well, Alex, put your coaching, your managerial hat on. You're down to 10 men in a derby. Paslak is on a yellow. You've got the chance to have a word with him at half time. He then does that three minutes, was it, into the second half, which Roger said might even have been a red card in its own right. Is that the unforgivable one?
Yeah, that's one that would stick with me, Gordon. I think the goalkeeper's just, I think he's lost his bearings. I think he feels as if, because his feet's over, he thinks he's actually got it. So I have a degree of sympathy for him. However, the other guy, he's I'll be honest with you, I actually thought it was a red card. I think he's out of control. It's so high.
The second one could have been,
Without a doubt. If he did give him a straight red card for that, I don't think most people would have
just
an eyelid.
A small aside, it's dawned on me, like Hibs did the impossible yesterday, that imagine a derby, how fraught that is. The way we all argue about things in Scottish football, when would you ever get two red cards in a derby and nobody argues about the decision?
Yeah.
It's unthinkable. It shows you how sort of blatant they were. I mean, Finlay, how do you feel now about the rest of the season and sort of knowing what is potentially on the cards for your City rivals?
Well, I think it's as close to done as we can get. I think if the game next Monday, Hearts v Rangers, is important. For the one time only, I'll be cheering on Rangers.
Would you welcome Hibs not winning the remainder of their games if it meant boosting the chances of the teams overtaking Hearts?
Absolutely. I'm expecting to see an under-18 side against Celtic this weekend.
There you go. I think you confused me. Did you not say it the other way around? I said Hibs would lie down. I was quoting the conspiracy.
You're correct. I am wrong.
To the teams round about them.
I see what you mean.
And look, I think on one hand, we're not like like that is rivalry. Like yeah. you can understand where, no, where Finlay's coming from. I think you stray into territory that we should probably stay out of if you're talking about David Gray.
What's been forgotten about yesterday at Ibrox, Gordon? Everybody looks at it through the sphere. It's a terrible result for Rangers. The huge day for Motherwell, because Hibs were sneaking up on Motherwell a wee bit, and Motherwell won and Hibs lost, and that's a 6-point yeah. gap. You are headed for European football.
Well, that's why Finlay's saying
off the back of yesterday,
it's pretty much over for them. So
yeah,
chuck it now.
Well, listen, I think Motherwell go to Hibs, don't they? Still, so there's a little bit of a chance for Hibs. They won't chuck it against Celtic. There won't be the under-18s, but there won't be Salinger and there won't be Paslak. And you wonder what
Jordan
yesterday
Smith played well when he came on.
He certainly did. You wonder what that will take out of Hibs, just the whole experience of yesterday.
Thank you, Finlay. What a weekend Finlay's had, and not in a good way. But we'll hopefully hear from you again. Paddy's in Loughborough. Hi, Paddy.
Evening, guys. How you doing?
Hi, good, Paddy. What's this weekend done for Celtic's title hopes then?
Well, I was up for the game. Much improved performance, I've got to say. One of the better performances of what's been a very up and down season, shall we say. But the reason for my call, guys, is I've had a Martin Luther King moment, right? I've had a dream. I've had my dream, right? And I want the panel's views on the chances of my dream coming to fruition.
With no disrespect, Paddy, I've got a funny feeling your dream's about to not be as profound as his was, but carry on.
Are you wanting that 790 grand in a competition, Paddy?
I think you're right there, Gordon. It's not as profound as Dr. Martin Luther King, but anyway, this is from a Glasgow perspective. So, end of the season. Rangers are out of it between Celtic and Hearts, right? By the way, I had this dream last night. And Hearts are still 3 points ahead of Celtic. We are +4 goal advantage, right? The crumble at Celtic Park. Celtic win 5-0. To me, it just was right back to 1986, really. You know, winning the league by the odd goal and sort of stuff. James De Forest comes on and he gets the winner. I just want to know, I mean, by the way, I'm putting 20 quid on this tomorrow, but I just want to know the panel's views, given the fact that Celtic are a club that tend to do things the hard way, and they've got this romanticism about them at times. What are the panel's thoughts on that coming through?
Come on, answer the man. What about his dream?
Roger, go on.
We were on the show on Saturday, Paddy, and I was pointing out to Gordon, the last day, if you're down south, you maybe saw it yourself, the last day of the English National League, York, 108 points, Rochdale, 107 points. Rochdale need to win to pip York to the title, head-to-head. Rochdale's score after 95 minutes to go 1-0 up. They think they're winning the league. York equalise in the 13th minute of added time. The goal is given. There's claims the ball's not over the line. There's no VAR in the National League. And York win the league in the 103rd minute with a goal that nobody's really 100% sure if it went over the line. And I said to Gordon on the show on Saturday, can you imagine that unfolds like that at Celtic against Hearts in the last day of the season? They'll be putting this show on 24/7, Paddy.
My sort of Ofcom obligation to tell people to gamble responsibly. I don't know where Paddy's 20 quid dream bet sits within that. It's been a mad enough. Listen, do you know what? It's been a mad enough season.
Yeah.
Probably all that's missing from this season is a caller to Super Scoreboard correctly predicting the outcome of the league in a dream. So who knows?
Yeah, listen, I think that's one of the things. I think people are dreaming still because, you know, I think a few weeks ago there was folk calling in here after the Hibs game, wasn't it? They were saying that's it, it's done. And various times over that period as well, you've had Celtic fans saying it's curtains. However, you never know what's going to happen. But the one thing I would say is you wouldn't put it past James Forrest with, you know, he's still producing with that new contract.
What was it about the weekend's performance that gave you more belief, Paddy, that you do win the league? Because obviously Falkirk had their moments.
Well, Falkirk played really well. I mean, they're a good football team. And I've got to say, Gordon, your boys as well, Motherwell, to me, they're the team, irrespective of where they end up. To me, Motherwell have been the team of the season just for the class of the football, the quality of the football. But for me, as a Celtic fan, on Saturday, Dyson Maeda was back to his old self. Hopefully, he can just keep that up for the next four games. And the other big deciding factor for me was the unity and the grind between the crowd. I know there's been a lot of ill feeling towards the board. That seems to have been part, for the time being,
And, you know, and I just think with the whole crowd behind the team again, and Dyson Maeder, Alistair Johnson coming back, I wouldn't write us off from just pipping Hearts in that last
if
game.
If your dream comes true, Paddy, and you make your money in the last day, will Celtic keep Martin O'Neill as manager if they win the double?
Oh, do you know, I was having such a debate about that.
Well, because, do you know, of it? No dreaming about that, Paddy, no?
I didn't dream about that one, but...
Maybe tonight.
I think he would definitely get his statue if that comes off, but I would have my concerns about the man's health, bless him, and his 70s, you know, having to put up with the pressure.
Yeah, we say the same about Hugh Keevan's in here, but he keeps coming back for more, Paddy.
Although there are signs it's getting to him. I mean, look at some of his predictions at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure if you get back, his predictions were just as bad when he was a young man.
If you were looking for a sign from Saturday that Celtic might have something there that carries him over the line, would it be in the shape of Dyson Maeda getting back to his old ways?
Yeah, without doubt. I think it's been a poor season from him overall, Gordon. You know, when you consider it was 30 odd goals last year, really impressive. And it almost looks as if he'd kind of lost interest. There was some sort of an agreement with the club that he could potentially leave. Hatate has also dipped. However, I think you mentioned that Paddy was saying about, you know, Johnson coming back at full back there, and then Engels could be an addition as well in there. You know, he'll be looking to try and really kick on in these last four games because obviously with that big transfer fee for Forest, he'll be wanting to impress going into the summer.
Thank you, Paddy. Let's get Scott's take on it, another Celtic fan. Scott, where does this leave you then after the weekend's combination of results?
Good evening, guys. How are you? All
hey,
right?
Scott.
I think, quite honest with you, I think the league's for us. It's for us now, simple as that. I don't think now that we're going to throw it away. I think we'll win every game that we had now. I think the only biggest concern I've got is playing against Motherwell. They're playing the best football this season, to be honest with you. We've got a great manager, a great setup there, a great loan player with Stephen Welsh there, showing his passion.
I enjoyed that yesterday, funnily enough, didn't he? I noticed that.
He certainly did, and so did all the Celtic fans, I think.
Had he not been taken off about half an hour before?
Oh, he had 55 minutes.
Yeah, wasn't he doing a lot of limping down that corridor, Alex?
The adrenaline gets you at that point.
Looking a lot of adrenaline, the fella at the other end of the corridor.
Who was that? The guy with the hat on?
I didn't even quite recognise him, but he didn't seem to be running about as much as Stephen Welsh.
He was just trying to keep his head down, as he does. Scott, though, you say, you know, think you'll win all the games. What about Hearts, though? Because they'll probably need to drop something. I mean, to be fair, your goal difference isn't that far off, but...
I think Hearts will drop points against Rangers. I think Rangers come back and beat Hearts, but I've got the feeling that we will beat both of them. After watching, I watched the Hearts game yesterday myself, and I mean, they really struggled again. I felt Hearts in relation to, they obviously had the 2 players sent off, and I felt as if they still struggled to break them down. And yet again, they've gained, 20 points they've gained over the season, basically in the last 80-odd minutes of a game. So it's telling you how hard that is for Hearts to break
down. Or it's the old sign of champions.
So, I mean... I get that, but we've got boys, we obviously spoke earlier on there about the fact that we've got James Forrest, Ralston, Carl McGregor and Kieran Tierney there. The guys are getting on a bit, fair enough, but these guys have been there and done it and bought a T-shirt. These are guys that have got over the line and been serial winners for years, and that's what's needed within the team to galvanise the team. We need good Scottish players within the team to obviously let them know what Celtic's all about, and that's what we've got just now. And I think that's bringing confidence throughout the team, having the guys there that have got the senior heads and been there and done it and got us over the line. And the other caller was just saying there about Dyson Maeder. I think Shosuke Nakamura said something to him in relation to getting himself up to a better standard to meet the World Cup. But yeah, he's played a few friendlies there, but I think Dyson's really coming into the forefront of his game now. It's took him long enough because he's had a dismal season, but the last couple of games he's been really trying. We've seen a Dyson Maeder the old, not just going forward, but tracking back and helping his team out. And that's what it takes to win a league.
Such an interesting stage this, because results are everything. You're looking for little clues and performances. Celtic like were better, and Dyson Maeder was better for sure. Also feel a bit for Falkirk, you know, it's certainly 2-0, it felt harsh on them, didn't it, the sort of the way they had played. But
listen, I had been at Hampden the previous Sunday for a St Mirren Cup game when Celtic were 2 up at half time and looked to be cruising, and St Mirren get back to 2-2. And when Kyle Wilson scored that terrific goal for Falkirk at 2-1...
that neither of you gave as your goal of the weekend.
When Kyle Wilson scored the third best goal on the weekend for 2-1, I thought, aye. You wondered if Celtic would just wobble the way they did when Mandron got it back to 2-1 the week before. And to their credit, they didn't. and they kept going, and Maida got the goal near the end for 3-1 to make it an easier finale. But I understand the confidence of Celtic fans after the weekend, but about like Hearts and Rangers, I don't think any of these three pushing for a title are the finished article yet. And I think, Scott, you're probably right to worry a wee bit about that trip to Fir Park, given what Motherwell did yesterday, what they almost did to Hearts before. What did they do to Celtic at Christmas time?
Rangers fans will be feeling down about the weekend for sure, Alex. As it stands today, based on what we saw at the weekend as well, how confident would you be that both Hearts and Celtic go to Fir Park and win?
No, Gordon, I've been saying this for weeks. Even when you think about going to Falkirk in that scenario as well, but I think they've all been capable and showcased what they can actually do against all of the top teams. So I've said for weeks, I think there'll be twists and turns. Now it's getting to the kind of that nitty gritty time where, you know, I think next weekend will be a lot more definitive. If Rangers can manage to win, Celtic win, then what is it, a point, Roger, between the three of them? Is that right? Mm. So that would be, you know, going into their last three games, you'll think to yourself, this could go anywhere.
Thank you, Scott. We've had it all. We've had people dreaming about the outcome to the end of the season. We've had an analysis of Haley and Hoopy, the Huddle Hounds relationship, and it's the seasons. I think everybody needs a bit of a break over the summer. I think it's getting to us all in here. But let's take pause for breath just now.
Pause.
And we'll take stop it. And we'll take more of your calls when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Alex Ray are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We've not even got round to discussing the Player of the Year nominees. Maybe we will squeeze it in, or maybe we just revisit tomorrow. That's the beauty of Clyde One Super Scoreboard, here every single day of the week. I actually had such a unique perspective on the show yesterday, which, you know, for me, who spends his life on here, didn't think I would get a unique perspective. So I mentioned earlier, went to the game at Ibrox, parked at sort of Pacific Quay, roughly, area, right? So what's that, about a mile walk, maybe? So after the game, walked from Ibrox back to the car, and obviously the full walk back, I was just nose-to-tail traffic. Every road that I walked past was just car after car after car. All I could see on every dashboard was Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Yeah. And all I could, and so I'm listening to the callers blaring out of the cars as I'm walking by, and I just thought, it's a sort of outer body experience here.
I said to you in a show a couple of weeks ago, it was the first time my mother had watched the show on the television. And I phoned her last night and she said, I heard a bit of your show, as she calls it. I heard a bit of your show today. And I know you weren't on it, but somebody swore. Did they have a look at that?
Last night, there was a wee sweary.
There was a wee, I think somebody had to be dumped.
Tempers flare after games like that.
That's
yesterday, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Geez. Just as well I was on.
Anyway, right, so let me give you a teaser. It is before Sunday. Oh, I forgot about my dramatic music.
With Archiplan Glasgow, planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Get too excited about my walk in the sunshine yesterday. Quite a niche question, this quite specific. Grant and Wisher says, before Sunday, who are the 8 Motherwell goal scorers from their previous 4 wins at Ibrox? Very specific. So they've only had 4 wins at Ibrox since 97. Who are the goal scorers from those previous 4 wins?
Who are the 8?
I mean, one of the wins at Ibrox is quite
recent.
Dan Casey.
Yes. They've actually won they've won 3 seasons in a row at Ibrox.
Yeah, I know.
So they
before yesterday.
Yes, the last 8 Motherwell goal scorers at Ibrox. I won't dwell on this too long. We've got loads to get through tonight. Quick. There's one of those wins is more significant than the rest, because
what do you call Chris Humphrey?
No.
Higdon?
No.
Ainsworth?
Yes. So you're on the right game, which was
The playoff.
Ainsworth. Alright, we'll get back to that. Thanks to Grant for sending it in. Thanks to Archiplan Glasgow for the question. Ross is a Hearts fan. What did this weekend do for you, Ross?
Quite a lot. I really enjoyed it.
I bet you did.
Even sang your team. The Hearts fans were even singing your team's name right throughout the game.
I heard this.
So
Is this because did the Hibs fans do it the previous week or something, and then that backfired and Hearts beat Motherwell?
Yeah.
Ah, right. See, listen, influencers or something like that. How good was it to win a derby of that importance?
It was frustrating. It was very frustrating. I will be honest with that. And thankfully, I wasn't at the game, because I don't think my heart would have taken it after the last time against you guys at Motherwell. I walked out, as I told you. I don't think I would have been able to take it, but sitting in my house, my whole neighbourhood would have heard me when Spittle scored that goal. And I've seen Spittle score plenty of good goals for Motherwell, and that's the first one I've seen that's been of that nature. You know, he has a good goal scorer, and it was with Motherwell. My point is that I'd said to you in the last 2 weeks, I said it's Hearts to lose. And all along I said if we beat Motherwell and Hibs, the Rangers game will take care of itself, and then it's thereafter. I just think it's Hearts to lose, and even more so now, Celtic, well, not Celtic, but Rangers have given us an even bigger leeway and a bigger lead now, so...
Do you think it feels like even a draw against Rangers, does that eliminate them from your race, do you think, or not quite?
Not for me. I think Hearts have got to go out there and win the game. I'd like them to actually go out and hit them right from the start. They did do well against Hibs yesterday, but then they lost the first goal and Benny made a terrible mistake, to be honest. But they got the game won at the end of the day. And it is hard to play against 9 players. I'm pretty sure, did Alex Ray not play in the one that Hearts got, went down to 8?
It doesn't ring a bell, mate. No,
they went down to 7 against Rangers before. It was before Alex time. I think Davy Weir was sent off as a Hearts player. Neil Poynton, Pasquale Bruno and Paul Ritchie were all sent off. The referee was a guy called Jerry Evans from Bishop Briggs. I think it was his last season. He was obviously wanting to get the best out of his card before he went. Chris Robinson, who was your chairman, came down to the side of the track and wanted Jim Jeffries to take the rest of the Hearts players off. He wanted the game abandoned. And I think Jim Jeffries and Billy Brown managed to calm down the late, great Chris Robinson. And the game went on. And as you can imagine, Rangers won the game. Hearts finished with 7 players.
And they also want to tell us Indy's star sign shoe
Who was on the bench for Rangers that day? It's incredible knowledge.
Who was the tea lady? Come on, don't stop there.
I don't know.
Encyclopedia.
I think I had a coffee, I'm not sure.
Deary me. Ross says it's Hearts' title to lose. I mean, that's not a controversial one when you're when you've got a 3-point gap with 4 games to go.
Yeah, but they've also got a good goal lead as well. You know, goal difference. So I think that's a factor as well. But they've been very consistent, I think.
Over Celtic. They got 5 over Celtic.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm looking at I think there's a stat doing the rounds today against the top teams, Gordon, and they've only lost one record out of about a dozen games. Yeah. So they will go into this last couple of games with plenty of confidence, and plus you've got the 3 points. So, you know, they'll really fancy themselves next week.
They're the only ones who went into the split, Roger. They've got, going into the split, they had a better head to head record against all the other teams.
Yeah.
And even individually, I mean, you know, so that they already, of the 3 games they'd played pre-split, they had done it over Hearts, Motherwell, Celtic, Rangers and Falkirk.
Yeah. I don't know what that tells you. It tells you they should be going in with confidence, you know, but I don't know how this is going to shake down. What we do know is off the weekend, Rangers have no more wriggle room. They need to win. They need to win at Ross's Place on next Monday night. They probably need to win at Celtic Park as well. Hearts, it's interesting, Derek McKinnon said last night he wondered if 7 points might do it. I'm not so sure about that.
No. So what makes you say no to that? What, tell us more about your arithmetic.
Well, they're 3 clear of Celtic at the minute, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. So 4 only takes them to 80, is that right? You know, 4 only takes them to 77.
Yeah.
4 more. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't sound 7 enough, more. Does it?
I don't think, I think they might need...
Oh, you mean 7 from now?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
7 from now. I'm not so
80
sure
points, you don't think 80 is enough?
Don't know. Listen, it depends what everybody else does. They could all take points off one another, but I thought he'd be looking for more. We will be looking for more, but...
okay.
It's going to be an absolutely fascinating finish.
Ross was on the line. Thank you very much to Ross. Now, there was a time when the Motherwell fans would get their back up a bit, get a bit annoyed when people would say that Motherwell won't win the title, but they might decide who will. Well, that is the reality now, because they fell out of that race a bit ago. So Stephen, who's a Motherwell fan, can you make your peace with that role in the title race now? How was yesterday?
Yeah, it's been a great season. I think yesterday is the culmination in everything that this squad's been working towards this season. And I don't just mean with the style of play, because we've had some great performances this season. I mean with the manner of how we won. I don't know if you remember the game against Hearts earlier in the season. We were 3-0 up, and that game ended 3-3. Yesterday, we were 2-0 up, get pegged back to 2-2, and the character that the team showed to then go and find a winner. Even when Rangers were on top in the second half, I still thought we carried a threat the other way to Andermans when EJ had a shot that nearly falls to Manny Longello. So we were still carrying a threat the other way. And I had every confidence going into the game on Sunday that we would get a result, because I'm not buying this that Motherwell had a blip. I think if you look at the games in isolation, the five games that we didn't win, John McCracken has a game of his life at Dens. There's decisions against Falkirk, Hearts and Celtic that don't go away. So I was never ever buying into the fact that we'd fallen off, especially against Hearts. The performance was there, and you always know you're going to get chances against this Rangers side, and thankfully yesterday we took them.
Everyone a long time ago, to be fair, cottoned on to the tactical improvements Motherwell have made and the stylistic stuff. See, with that then, do we maybe overlook what it does to your character and mentality? Yeah. Stephen will testify, if you're a Motherwell fan or a similar size team, you go to Ibrox, you've been 2-0 up, you get pegged back to 2 each, and the ball comes into the box in the 90 odd minute and your goalkeeper collects it, he doesn't usually bowl it out straight away and start and launch a counter attack. And if Stephen O'Donnell and Acres of Space and Longello, at that point you take the draw. You're desperate for the draw. Your goalie sinks to his knees, probably does that old one.
Buys time.
I don't know if it's like the chicken and egg thing. Does the mentality come first and then the play follows, or is it the other way around? But whatever it is, this Motherwell team is just in so many ways built differently from what it used to be, isn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that's a good analogy about trying to buy a point, you know, just see out the game and so forth. But I never saw that with this team, Gordon. The amount of times that the keeper catches the ball and gets in the transition, that's a built-in mechanism by that manager style and the players, and they managed to do that. And now we had a Celtic fan on earlier on talking about McGregor and Jamesy Forrest and all that, but see, when you look at McGinn, Stephen O'Donnell and that kind of core of guys, they will be, you know, you've got Halliday as well in the mixers, so you've got these guys that are kind of driving all this, and then you've got a manager who is super confident in what he's actually trying to deliver, and then he's obviously got the players to buy into that. So it's been a real success story all round for Motherwell. They'll obviously be trying to get Europe as well, because it's just with the icing on the cake, really.
Well, it would be the icing on the cake. And, you know, a lot of people come on the show and say, enjoy it while you can. You know, you're saying, James Bertolaski, Hugh's already telling us, the guy in the garage says he's going to be the Celtic manager. This might be a one-season wonder for Muller, you don't know. But it's a great finale this season. I can't wait to next season, because I want to see whether Hearts can do this again. And I want to see whether Motherwell can do this again, Alec. You wouldn't like to think that it's just a one-off, a flash in the pan, something that Gordon Duncan will be telling the grandkids about in 50 years' time.
Is there any part of you, Stephen, where does your enjoyment ever make way to being kept up at night at what it might look like if you just got a couple of those draws turned into wins at the start of the season when the performances were still actually quite good?
Is that bit in the back of your head? What if we didn't draw as many games? What if decisions went our way? But I think when you nail it down and you look at it, you just need to appreciate what you're watching. The bravery in possession, the tactical. I mean, you mentioned Stephen O'Donnell there. That to me sums up the squad. The transformation of a footballer has been remarkable. This is a guy who is often the scapegoat for Motherwell fans, and he's playing like Baresi. Fantastic this season, but a pinch me. I think more so, cups feel like a missed opportunity more than the week. game against Aberdeen where there was a lot of changes, maybe.
I heard a lot of earlier in this season, Stephen, a lot after the game where Motherwell beat Celtic for Park, a lot of Motherwell fans said that was the best performance they'd ever seen against Celtic. Was yesterday the best performance you've ever seen at Ibrox, I take it?
I was part to say that it's better than the Celtic one because of the manner.
Mm-hmm.
Did it and being pegged back and then having the character to then go and think I never felt under any threat.
Because I mentioned no mentality. Stephen says character. Stephen's line's breaking up a wee bit. Sorry, Stephen, that sounds like I'm butting in, but it is breaking up a bit. The Ibrox was absolutely rocking yesterday. Yeah. It was so loud before the game. Naturally, Mother will do their bit to quiet that down. But then, as soon as Rangers get back to two each, same again.
Yeah.
So, do we maybe overlook that side of it? How hard it is to go and stick to these
principles
in that cauldron, that environment.
Listen, I've taken so much compliment. I've been highly complimentary of the way they go about their business, Gordon. But even though Rangers were getting the two goals, Gordon, I still seen moments where you're thinking, you know, that they have that belief, they have that confidence to stick with what they're actually trying to do. And that all stems from the manager. The manager's come in there and he's pretty much said to them for the off, we're playing this way, I want you to buy in. And they've grown in confidence as a group. And do you know what else I know? And I know this might be a thing, me. See, when it kind of kicked off when the second one and it came together, there was no one shirking. You know what I mean? A lot of people, you just go, right, okay, that's... Because naturally you would think the confidence has dropped on, oh, that's them back in it, they're going to go in and win it. I didn't see that. I didn't see them capitulate.
Thank you, Stephen. Any more in the teaser? We're looking for players that have scored for Motherwell in their other wins at Ibrox before yesterday and since 97.
Oh, you said 97. Owen Coyle.
Yeah, he got a double that day in 97, and we'll get the rest of the answers and more calls. Still squeeze one more in if we can when we return.
The world's biggest music quiz for Cash for Kids Day.
Getting closer, don't forget to register. World's biggest music quiz with Ant and Dec is Thursday the 30th. That's Thursday this week from 1 p.m. But we're putting on our own quiz night Wednesday the 29th. That's just 2 days away, 6:30 at Bad. So Glasgow's big bad music quiz at the Barra's Art and Design Centre. And it's thanks to our sponsors, Cairnhill Structures, brilliant prizes, George and Cassie on hosting duties, and even better, all for a good cause, for Cash for Kids as well. So go to Clyde1.com for tickets, and we'll see you on Wednesday for Glasgow's big bad music quiz with Cairnhill Structures for Cash for Kids.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Been a quick show this into the final straight with Alex Ray and Roger Hanna. Quick question on the teaser. It's a very specific one in relation to yesterday. Who were the 8 Motherwell goal scorers before yesterday, stretching back their 4 previous wins at Ibrox since 97? You've got Owen Coyle, Lionel Ainsworth, which was the playoff game, Dan Casey.
I know he did it at Hampden. Did he do it at Ibrox as well, Louis Mould?
No, he didn't. Oh. He was a Hampden man.
What about Theo Bear?
Yes, that was the win in March 2024.
Do
you remember more about the playoffs? I feel like that's the more memorable one.
Trying to think.
So Ainsworth
I remember him shaking hands with Billy Wozni at the end. Lee Irwin.
It was more than shaking hands in the end to get a sort coup. Yep. We'll get back to get the remaining ones. Let's go David on the phone first. Hi, David.
Evening, guys.
What did you take away from yesterday at Ibrox, David?
I think it goes to show why James Tavernier should be leaving the club. He should have left a lot sooner than what he has. We've came back for the summer training camp or whatever it was, and away in Spain. First game back, they threw it away, and James, captain, throwaways, done it again. He's delivered 5 trophies in 11 years. I know a lot of people say, oh, his goals or his stats. I'd rather him score nae goals and deliver Vladimir trophy. He's just constantly let this club down. He's delivered nothing of real significance.
But David, do you know what's really interesting about this though, right? The counter argument is that Rangers fans over the piece are blaming James Tavernier for things that aren't his fault. And yet here you are calling to blame him for a defeat in which he did not start the game.
When he wasn't in the pitch, they were 2-0 down. When he was in the pitch, they were 2-1 up.
David.
Right, but what's a captain's job? A captain's job is to drive, inspire, and demand more from the players around him, to improve the players around him, to install a sense of winning, install a sense of pride. That's all things that he could have been doing, and he just hasn't done it. Five trophies in 11 years.
Oh, hold on, what are we saying, right? Hold on, wait a second. That's fine though, right? Because we've had a big debate about James Tavernier's Rangers career, but yesterday, seriously.
Well, he could have been, if you're 2-0 down, right, and you're drawn in Motherwell, where was he going to go shout, right, come on, let's go do it, let's get this final goal. No.
David, you must spot, by the way, see, for the record, I didn't think he was brilliant when he came on, I'm not saying he was, but David, you must spot the flaw in yesterday being the fault of a guy that didn't start the game. Come on.
He's a captain, isn't he?
He's not a magician.
I'll come at about.
Good if he was.
Is he not supposed to drive standards? Is he not supposed to?
Yeah, but David, there was a stat. That's just buzzwords. That stuff. That's just buzzwords.
You're good with stats. I was watching the Hibs Hearts game yesterday, and I think when Kizaridis came on for Hearts, the commentator, was it Ian Crocker, quoted how many chances created, one of these news categories.
Yeah, yeah.
How many chances created Kizaridis had made for Hearts this season, whatever it was. Only one player in the Scottish Premiership had created more chances this season. James Tavernier.
Even in his bit part. But look, Alex, yeah. I still think, actually, let's be specific about the debate tonight. There clearly, whether we or you or Andy likes it or not, there is a debate about how good James Tavernier's been for Rangers, what his legacy is, what esteem he should be held in, whether he should have helped deliver more trophies, and so on. Even by those wacky standards, it feels like blaming him for yesterday, above all else.
Yeah.
Because he's not, nobody's, you know, you'd need to take a share of the blame. He was there, he was involved. But for him to be like the main blame man from yesterday feels bizarre.
It was actually I'm sure he came from the touchline as well, from the dugout to the touchline as it was in game. And he was just stood behind Danny Rowe and he was giving some orders to one of the players to come over. But we had this discussion last week when he announced his retirement. And listen, his goal and assist ratio per game is just off the scale for a guy. It costs $250,000. Now, he'll always be labelled, like the caller saying, mm-hmm. about, you know, the lack of trophies. But it's, you know,
David, can I ask you what you thought of Dujon Sterling's performance yesterday?
Yeah, I think he started as well. He wasn't perfect either. But what position does Dujon Sterling play?
Right back.
And what position does James Tavernier play?
Same position. What do you mean?
That's how he inspires somebody to be better.
Let me get this straight. Are you trying? Is Dujon Sterling's performance yesterday James Tavernier's fault?
So I always remember that interview he gave a couple of years ago. When Rangers are under pressure, we can't handle it. That's his mentality.
He's getting the blame for a lot here. Because yeah, I thought it was quite. Actually, there was a microcosm of it yesterday. I don't mean to dig out Dujon Sterling, but I think that's a very telling issue that some Rangers fans like David have with James Tavernier. If you watched those two performances yesterday, Dujon Sterling's and then James Tavernier's, and you want to blame Tavernier the most, it'd probably been a bit unfair, because Dujon Sterling had a tough afternoon. Yeah.
No, listen, he struggled, Dujon, yesterday. And, you know, he's usually very good one-to-one defender, but he kind of struggled to get
right
up to the speed.
Let's leave it there, because the tune is playing, as you can hear. Motherwell's last goal scorers at Ibrox from the previous four wins before yesterday: Casey, Bear, Ainsworth, Erwin Coyle. Three to get.
Van Veen?
Nah, these are tough.
Scott McDonald.
The playoff game. Big defender, better known for playing for Celtic. Former Celtic captain,
Stephen McManus. I forgot he scored that game.
Yeah, and the ones last season, one of them played yesterday, set up the second goal.
Slattery?
No, set up the second goal, right back.
Tom Sparrow,
and you'll never get the last one. Luke Armstrong.
Oh, the big lad.
The big lad.
Big lad for Carlisle.
Thank you, Roger Hanna and Alex Ray. We are back tomorrow. We didn't even get the player of the year debate going. That's how busy it's been. Good news is we'll do it 6 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.